Thank you for jumping in with our Perspective of the Cross podcast for this Lenten season. Our hope is that this series will expand our view of the cross and Jesus' sacrifice, and we hope that this supplementary devotional will also help us all keep those different perspectives of the cross in our minds throughout the week. As they become more than just passing thoughts, we hope we'll begin to embody these truths, living lives that reflect the true nature of the gift we have been given. Feel free to listen as you drive, go for a walk, go to the gym, or just carve out a quiet time to meditate and rest. Take in these perspectives of the cross, and together, let's seek to understand more fully the salvation we've been offered in Jesus.
Week 3, obedience. Obedience isn't a word we hear a lot of people use nowadays. What comes to your mind when you think of it? Maybe you don't like the idea of trusting others to the point of obedience because you don't feel they've earned your trust. Maybe you've been obedient in the past, but it's resulted in hurt, or it just didn't seem to actually have your best interests in mind. In Jesus, we can see an example of human obedience, both in how he lived his life and in the ultimate act of obedience, his death on the cross. Believing in God's goodness doesn't mean obedience will come any easier to us. We are a society that values freedom, and often obedience is viewed in opposition to freedom. We have instincts and habits embedded in our flesh that go back generations, thousands of years. We would be remiss to think that overnight we could all of a sudden be perfect. However, through Jesus' work on the cross, we have actually already been given credit for his ultimate obedience, though we have done nothing to earn it. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, Scripture says that we've been called sons and daughters, children of God. This means we have an inheritance. We are heirs to his throne because Jesus' obedience makes up for humanity's entire history of disobedience. Through him and his work on the cross, this group of rebels can now be forgiven. And when we stray and chase something that's not on the path of our rabbi, he can lead us back to those footsteps once again and get back on the path. For just as Paul says in Romans 8:38 through 39, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, nor our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. For these next few moments, listen to these passages from Scripture on Christ's obedience. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin, so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Hebrews 4:15, the high priest of ours understands our weaknesses, for he faced all of the same testings as we do, yet he did not sin. Philippians 2:6-8. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God and died a criminal's death on a cross. Luke 22:42. Now, consider that in Jesus' humanness, as he knew he was about to go through such a gruesome death, prayed this prayer, Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. Take some space to ponder and meditate on these next few questions. First, let's ask God to bless this time. Let him know in the quietness of our own hearts that we want to get to know him more deeply as we engage in this spiritual exercise. What comes to mind when you hear the word obedience? does the word obedience have a positive or negative connotation? What stipulations might have to be in place before you could give your obedience to someone? Maybe your reaction to that question is that you never would. Ask yourself why. During Ash Wednesday and Good Friday, and sometimes even when we take communion, we spend time in the ugliness of what it looked like for Jesus to be sentenced to the cross in front of a crowd, dying in such a gruesome way. We do this to remember the punishment he took on for our sake. Though he did not sin, he took the punishment for all sin. Put yourself on the hill that day, thinking of the story of Jesus going to the cross through the lens of obedience. How does it hit you differently? This last question revolves around this idea of being God's children, a part of his family. As we think of Jesus in obedience, going to the cross, fulfilling his Father's mission to make a way for salvation for all who were lost, is there a type of obedience that instead of looking like weakness, could instead look like love and strength? Let's close out our time in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you for the gift of the cross. Thank you for the obedience you displayed, and thank you for the forgiveness you've extended to us to cover our lack of obedience. Search our hearts, as it says in the Psalms. Help us to know why obedience is so difficult for us. Help us to dream dreams and have visions of how our lives could be better as we conform to your perfect will and your perfect plans for us. And last but not least, help us to live in the title of sons and daughters, heirs to your throne. Help us to live in the forgiveness and freedom that comes with those titles. We love you, God, and your displayed obedience on the cross enchants us. Help us to know you in a deeper way as we meditate on this aspect of your character. Amen.